The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kupale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kupale Ogbayani. And across from me is Mr. Paul Brecht. Woo! We're coming in hot today. We just kind of like went through half of our show just ranting about stuff that I was like, we should probably save this for the show. Yeah. Hey,
doing the show before the show.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't help it sometimes when there's a lot of stuff going on, especially with the NBA playoffs and, of course, the NBA awards kind of completing their announcements. They started releasing some of the awards throughout the week, and then yesterday was the big one, which we will get to in just a second. Also coming up in the show, we will hear from UH baseball head coach Rich Hill as the Basebows get underway tonight against UC Riverside, which all indications on paper should do pretty good. Also going on right now, however, is the PacWest baseball tournament as Hawaii Pacific University, the number 2 seed in the tournament, is actually taking on the number 1 seed in Point Loma in the losers bracket at the moment. So this is a win or go home game for the top two seeds in the tournament, which is crazy because Point Loma got upset by Azusa Pacific, the number 4 seed yesterday. And then Hawaii Pacific lost to Concordia Irvine, who their co-pitcher of the year for CUI in Jay Covey just had a pitcher of the year day, which I was telling the guys on text message. I'm like, I hope that Jay Covey has the same type of game that he had against the Sharks in the regular season, where he gave up 9 hits and 3 runs, and not the co-pitcher of the year. Well, the co-pitcher of the year showed up yesterday and shut out the Sharks and pitched the complete game.
A gem.
Shutout. It was beautiful work by Covey. So unfortunately for the Sharks, if it was any other pitcher, I'm sure the outcome would have been different. But you know what? That's just how it goes in these tournaments. And now they have to face the number 1 seed and the regular season champs in Point Loma, which is going on right now. I'm going to try to give you updates as we go. But of course, when I want to, the video stream on the Azusa Pacific thing is not working for me right now. But if you guys want to watch it while you're listening to us, you can go ahead and watch the stream at the athletics.apu.edu/watch. And like I said, we'll try to give you updates as we go on with the HPU Sharks.
Got to beat the best to be the best. And no matter what, it's a double elimination tournament. And you get another opportunity here if you are the Sharks. And at the end of the day, you were probably planning on playing Point Loma at some point in this tournament. Now you have an opportunity to be the finishing blow to them for this PacWest tournament championship, whatever. You guys know how I feel about PacWest championships and Big West championships and the tournament and how it should be called. Anyway, they got a win today against a very strong team. They did get swept against Point Loma, I believe, during the regular season, but they were pretty competitive in a couple of those games as well. And it's a Sharks team that has progressively been getting healthier as well as the year has gone on. So that could also help out. They weren't at full strength against Point Loma. Positive Paul is always going to make an appearance. And at the end of the day, baseball is a funny sport, kind of like soccer in terms of on any given day, all it takes is one good performance, one poor performance, and all of a sudden it changes the course of history for a program. So hopefully for the Sharks today, all they need is one swing of the bat and they can kind of change course once again.
All right, so game going on right now that my video stream is working, so we will give you updates. The Sharks are in their all blacks and Point Loma looks to be in their all greens, and HPU held scoreless at the top of the first. Yes.
I'm going to have to look that uniform up.
Green? Why? Point Loma's green.
No, I understand, but like a green.
I don't think it's all. They showed him for a second and then they switched it. Okay. Green top, yellow trim, white pants. There you go.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm like, full green. No, it's crazy.
No. Yeah. Who do they think they are? The Bows?
That's what I mean. I'm like, who do they think? Anyway, sorry, we're devolving.
Yeah, now that the baseball is on the screen. So again, HPU held scoreless, Point Loma, the designated home team, and we are just getting underway for the bottom of the first. So again, we'll get you updated with this game. Win or go home for both of the top 2 seeds in the PacWest baseball tournament. And yep.
If you don't want to wait for updates from us. Our Michael Lascaro is also putting out social media updates. He actually just put out his first one. You can follow him on the X platform. Oh, I hate that. At Michael Lascaro. And just the update from Michael: after not getting their first hit of the game till the fifth inning yesterday, the HPU Sharks are on the board with Kota Suzuki's single in the top of the first inning, but Sharks unable to bring him home. Jack O'Brien on the bump for HPU.
Sounds good. So we'll keep you posted throughout this hour. All right, getting back to the NBA, Paul, in a cheery mood that it would have been if the Knicks had lost. Another close game by the Knicks and Pacers, 130 to 121 in favor of the Knicks. Before we chat about that game, however, I want to get into the NBA awards. It was announced yesterday that Nikola Jokic was selected as the MVP. Before we circle back to that, though, some of the other major awards, no surprise here: Victor Wembanyama named Rookie of the Year, Tyrese Maxey Most Improved Player, Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year, Naz Reid Sixth Man of the Year, Steph Curry still making his way into the awards there, at the Clutch Player of the Year, Brad Stevens Executive of the Year. So pretty cool. But going to the MVP, there's been a lot of debate over the last couple of years of the standard or why you deserve the MVP, yada, 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 yada. But it goes to Nikola Jokic. And somebody, a fellow former big man in the NBA, one of the best to do it, he was not happy about it. So some of the other two finalists for the award was Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the OKC Thunder, who, to remind everyone, was the number one seed in the West. And they were just the best in the West this season and have been looking phenomenal so far as we go to the NBA playoffs. But, yes, Mr. Big Man Shaq was not happy with Nikola Jokic winning the MVP award. And this was a portion of his rant on NBA on TNT yesterday.
I don't like to rain on people's parade, but I'm not happy with this one. Congratulations to Joker. You are the best big man in the league. But based on everybody's criteria, my criteria, stats, that stuffer, you guys' criteria, number one seed, which team has the better record, I felt Shai Alexander deserved it, because I've been number two a lot, and I played my ass off number two. So the fact that he has to start all over next year and try to win it again, I know it's going to be hurtful for him. Hopefully he uses this to motivate him to win a championship. But I thought, and again, no disrespect to the Joker, best big man in the league by far, you could have went this way, but I thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of only, you know, a few players that had 30 points 50 times, stat stuffer, great season. His team is number one. Nobody expected him to be number one. I thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to win it by far. But congratulations to Joker. I'm happy for him. Third time MVP. You really can't be mad at this vote. But the fact that he has to start all over next year and win it over again. Because, again, I felt I was robbed two or three times. Right? And I played my ass off. Stat stuffer. Won championships those years. But, again, no disrespect to Joker. But I would have gave it to Shai.
You keep throwing stat stuffer out there.
No, because that's my criteria for MVP.
Does Nikola Jokic not stuff the stat sheet?
Yeah, but not like Shai.
When really?
Shai is one of the few players that had 30 points in 50 games, yeah, Ernie.
Well, like, when you're talking about stuffing the stat sheet, look at all the triple doubles for Nikola Jokic, and look at his ranks in scoring, rebounding, and assists. I don't think stuffing is an argument.
Okay, but even doing all that, OKC was the number one.
That was Shaq going on a rant after Nikola Jokic was named MVP. But Paul, something about that just sounds so familiar. What is it?
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
So it kind of sounded like that. Yeah. Very similar to the MTV Music Awards that you're like, hey, and kudos, like before we get into that, though, kudos to Ernie Johnson for trying to reel him back and just to go through some of the stats for Nikola Jokic. I mean, he was averaging 26.4 points, 12.4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1.4 steals per game while leading the Nuggets to a tie for the second best record in the league. So I personally do think I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He still has a very, very long career. He will win MVP one day. Who knows? Maybe he'll win MVP of the NBA Finals. Who knows? But I'm going to get past the Timberwolves. But anyways, who knows? And Shaq is saying, oh, I hope he uses this as like a something to motivate him to win the NBA Finals. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, Shaq, like, why are you arguing about Nikola Jokic? This is a regular season award as well, so you can't take into account how the Nuggets have looked so far in the NBA playoffs, playing against a team that is just straight out, like, better than them, and it's not even close. But, and Paul and I were talking about this before we jumped on air. Time and place. Like, you're entitled to your opinion. I get it. As a fellow big man, it's cool that you are admitting that, like, hey, we got to give it to the guard here in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But yeah, it's just, you didn't have to be go all Kanye. And he even said it, like, they broke the news and they interviewed Nikola Jokic live to ask him about the award. And then he goes on to tell Nikola, like, but I don't think you deserve it. Like, and fortunately for the NBA on TNT crew, Nikola is just, he's a funny guy and he's a good sport. And oh my gosh, Shaq just, maybe he's just sad because he might not have a job pretty soon because NBA on TNT is going to, it seems like all indications they're point that they're going to lose the rights. So maybe he's just, and he's wearing the sunglasses. So the whole vibe was just weird. And again, I'm not arguing with the choice. It's just like Beyonce and Taylor. Beyonce's music video for Single Ladies was awesome. It, like, the dance was trending. I memorized the dance. But at the like, it was already selected. You can have two greats. You can only one can win. So
I'll put it like this. And I don't want it just to be like, oh, Shaq is the only one who did this. Stephen A. Smith also went on his stupid show this morning and talked about how, oh, I respect Nikola, but there's a brother that we've been ignoring for too long in SGA and blah, blah, blah. Guys. Nikola Jokic got 79 first place votes. Okay, 79. Know how many SGA got? 15. So you are saying that the entirety of the people who vote on it are they just have no clue about the stats, the impact, any of the context, any of these things. I mean, it was a runaway MVP vote. For good reason. If you look at what Nikola Jokic does, he is the best basketball player in the world, the most impactful basketball player in the world. Think about what he's done to LeBron James. He has made LeBron James not look like the best basketball player on the floor in three straight series now, is that? In the postseason? Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness gracious, guys, let's talk about it. Nikola Jokic, this season, I would argue, was better numbers than Shaq's MVP season. You take into account efficiency. You take into the account the ability to play from all three levels. The fact that his defense is not as bad as everybody would like to say. His VORP is incredible. If we want to get into advanced statistics as well, over 10 on the VORP. And then not Shaq's season is, I can get into an entire diatribe about this if I need to. But guys, I understand disagreeing, but there's a time and there's a place, and you also need to do it. This is the issue with NBA coverage right now in the national sphere, is that everybody loves to do this, which is give their hot takes, be like, oh, SGA should have won. Why should have SGA won? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he stuffs the stat sheet. That's not an actual reason. That's not a real reason. All of these guys stuff the stat sheet. I mean, shoot, should we talk about Josh Hart? Josh Hart just did something in the playoffs that only Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron James, and some other all-time great have done. Oh, yeah, and Josh Hart. So Josh Hart, I mean, we're not appreciating him enough.
A lot of the reasoning throughout the last couple of weeks, like, Shaq and Charles Barkley have been saying, oh, it should go to the player on the best team. Again,
no.
The Nuggets, second best record in the league, tied with OKC Thunder. The best record in the league, the Boston Celtics.
Well,
so you're
going to
tell me like
Jason
Tatum,
Jaylen
Brown maybe gets the MVP. But the fact that literally both their teams were tied to finish, again, this is a regular season award. So you have to wash what you've seen, like how the Nuggets have struggled so far in the playoffs, and wipe that out and just look at the regular season. Both teams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Thunder and Nikola Jokic on the Denver Nuggets, finished the regular season with the exact same record. So everything they've been talking about, the best player of the best team, well, you know what? If that's the case, then they're even, and then you go to the stats, and Nikola Jokic has the better stats. Like Paul just said, it was a runaway selection for Jokic. So it's
this is not me hating on SGA.
I love SGA. I hope the Thunder continue to keep balling out because they're such a fun team to watch in the playoffs. But yeah, you can't let the guard blur your judgment on who should be selected on the MVP. I mean, yeah. Paul put it best. It was a runaway, but I just thought I'd share that with you guys because it's just a fun little chuckle. Also, just comparing it to the Kanye West Taylor Swift thing, because that's the first thing I thought about when Shaq opened his mouth about, oh, you know, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but it should have gone to SGA, yada, 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 yada. I don't know. Maybe they're hating on Nikola because he's not American, probably, because
well,
I'm like...
like, realistically, there's probably a very good chance of that because there is a long history of American basketball players consistently trashing European basketball players and just international basketball players in general. Think about how many comments we've had to hear over the years about how soft these, you know, foreign big men are, or how it just... the game has become worldwide, and I think that is really hard for some people to take into account. SGA had an incredible year, guys. Like, incredible year. There's a reason he finished top three, top two. There's a reason Luka Doncic finished top three. Nikola Jokic was outstanding. Outstanding. His net rating this year, so when he was on the court, almost plus 13, SGA plus 11. That's two full points. That's a lot of points.
It also kind of reminds me of when LeBron got all butthurt about Steph. I forget if it was Steph's first or second MVP, but it was when Steph got the MVP and LeBron got all like just habut about not winning it. But at that time when Steph won it, I had said this back then. I'm like, Steph was still the main player on, this is the height of his like success and the peak and
Steph
his
quite
prime.
Literally changed the way game or the game of basketball
and he
played.
Brought like he was not only MVP for his team, he was MVP for the league. He brought like so much attention during that 2015-2016 stretch to the game of basketball, bringing in all these new fans because people just, and I said it before, I mean my grandma was like tuned in to games because of the way that Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors were playing at that time. So he was the most valuable player in the league, similar to what we are seeing with Caitlin Clark and company of this class of WNBA. Like they just brought like this burst of fandom that they really needed after all this time where it felt like it was starting to take a dip. So, and of course at that time, LeBron, yes, one of the best players in the league, but geez, you can only go to one. Are we going to be that angry? Nikola Jokic, your MVP, everybody. Anyways, rant over because we're way up against the clock. So we'll be back to hear from UH Baseball head coach Rich Hill on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Kule Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. It's Wake Up in the Den. All right, before we get into University of Hawaii baseball, I want to give you a quick update on the HPU Sharks. Again, they are currently playing in the loser's bracket of the PacWest Conference Championships.
How dare you?
I know. I just had to do that.
How dare you?
I had to do it. It just sounded funny. Loser's bracket. But anyways, winner go home between the top two seeds in the tournament. That is HPU and Point Loma. The Sharks are currently trailing Point Loma heading into the top of the third. So trailing, I should probably give the score. Trailing Point Loma 1-0 heading into the top of the third. Again, Point Loma is the designated home team. The Sharks wearing their all blacks and the Point Loma, what is it, Sea Lions? Something like that.
I think so.
Something like that. Sea Lions wearing their green tops and white bottoms. If you guys want to go watch it, go to the Azusa Pacific Athletics website because they are the ones hosting the tournament this year. So athletics.apu.edu/watch if you guys want to watch it while you're listening to us, of course. Or you can listen to us on demand at hawaiisportsradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. The Rainbow Warriors, though, are in action again later tonight at the Les Murakami Stadium. The media got a chance to catch up with head coach Rich Hill. And I need to kind of set the scene for the beginning of this interview just so you guys kind of understand what's going on. I will preface, though, Rich Hill was feeling in quite the joking mood, or I don't know, it was kind of funny to listen to. And I hope you guys get a chuckle on his responses as well throughout this media avail. But it starts off, it'll go straight into Coach Hill's answer, but basically, it starts off with Stephen Tsai from the Star Advertiser asking about Elijah Ikes and just being a young player, playing in every game, just about every game. Actually, he has played in every game.
Not every single inning.
Yeah, and not started, I believe. That's why, like, one game he did not start, but he played in the game. So he's been playing every game, young player. And basically, Stephen asks Coach Hill, like, you'd think he'd get tired.
That's the idea. Tired's not in our vocabulary, Stephen. I mean, come on, right? You know, no way. We're built for this. There's guys that are, you know, Elijah's age, our player's age, that are, you know, fighting for our freedom, you know, and not sleeping, you know, ever and away from home. So, hey, we're not tired. No way. He's not tired. When we signed Elijah, you know, and he committed to coming to school, that was part of the deal, you know. I mean, we're just all about development, and he can develop, you know, over 50-plus games here in a real intense environment where, you know, he's going to have to learn, as all our guys do, you know, the importance of winning, you know, and how to win. And in the minor leagues, you don't get that, you know. So it's been a work in progress with, you know, not only Elijah, but a lot of our freshmen, and you're just starting to see, you know, him just improve every day, you know, and Braden Marks and Sebastian Gonzalez, Itsuki Takamoto. So there's a great group of those guys that have really improved.
With him playing every single game, right, what comes with that is aches and pains and bruises, and he just told us that what helps him get through it is that it's what God wants to do. So he's not going to let any of that hold him back because he embraces it all. For someone as young as he is, to be able to identify that this early in their career, how important is that?
It's not even part of our vocabulary. Bumps, bruises, tired. It's like we don't even acknowledge it, really. I mean, it's like I said, you know, there's guys that are, you know, our college guys' age, you know, fighting evil, you know, and not sleeping. And, you know, life or death situations. So we're playing, you know, baseball. And our guys are having an opportunity to achieve their dream of playing in the major leagues. You know, and we don't play every day. You know, it's a playoff game every weekend, just about. So they're fine. You know, this is, you know, just kind of a dream, you know, for these guys to be able to play at Les Murakami Stadium in front of our great fans. You know, I tell our guys, hey, if you're tired after, you know, a Division I, you know, baseball season, hey, that's not even the all-star break in minor leagues, you know, so they got to get used to it. They got to prepare for it. And this environment really gets them ready for professional baseball.
How special of a player do you have to be to do what Alex is doing as far as, you know, you're going kind of starter innings, but then you're coming into the game once it's already established? That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, how impressed are you with that?
Three letters, SOP. Standard operating procedure, Robbie. It you know, you sign up, you know, to be a Bow Warrior, you know, you perform or you support. You know, it's that simple. So whether you're asked to come out of the bullpen, to be a starter, to be a pinch hitter, be an outfielder, an infielder, you know, you have a team first attitude. And, you know, everything's mindset, you know, in our program. So, you know, stepping on the slab and, you know, delivering a well-executed pitch is really all it boils down to. So that's really it. We don't put any other attachment to it, including the result. We surrender that.
How are you guys preparing this weekend? I mean, it's supposed to be a rainy one.
Wait a minute.
I know.
It rains in Hawaii?
Oh, it's supposed to
I didn't
be
know that weekend. When I took the job.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. It's advantage. Bows. Rain. Sun. Wind. No big deal, right? Like I said, we're built, you know, to thrive in the elements. So I haven't really been looking at the weather report, you know, too intense. It has a tendency to change, you know, a little bit. So as it gets closer, we'll, you know, kind of get into that. But it's all about Thursday night, and then we'll deal with the rest of the stuff later.
Your pitching staff's really made a great adjustment to Zuni this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that you have a great coach last year this year. It's also an adjustment to having a larger staff that you use.
Mm-hmm.
What's been like? Is that why it sort of took you a little bit to have a find this groove?
Well, Coach Zuniga is a special person. You know, he really, you know, has that superpower of human connection, you know, to start with. And then the X's and O's part of it, you know, he's just on a different level. You know, I mean, there's video stuff going on, there's analytics, there's data, there's feedback. So our pitchers, you know, have really thrived. And, you know, it really wasn't, you know, an easy transition, you know, I don't believe, because Matt Troop was so popular, you know, and so great, you know. And Zuni just, you know, the great thing about that is he was just himself, you know, from day one. And, you know, our players, especially our pitchers, have really, really responded to his teaching.
Game win streak. Where do you think your team has really made the biggest jump in the last month or so?
I think the key, you know, really, you know, has been Sebastian Gonzalez, you know, moving into that starting role. It really, you know, provided us some length, you know, over the weekend. He gave us that quality start. And then a guy like Dallas Duarte, you know, who, you know, has really picked it up, you know, over the last 8 games. Nigel Calderon, you can point to Nigel being a, you know, a tremendous spark plug, the first 4 hitters in our lineup. You know, Jake Zuccotta being a portal guy, just had his 200th hit, doesn't strike out. Same with Austin Machado, Kyson Donahue's, you know, re-emergence. And Jordan Donahue, really, you know, on both sides of the ball has been spectacular. So you can point to a lot of things, and it's all about the players.
And that was UH baseball head coach Rich Hill answering questions from the media yesterday. And just, he's
Steven.
Hilarious. Steven. Oh, Robbie. Oh, it rains in Hawaii. I did not know that when I took the job. No, but if there's anything you take from that, I mean, kudos to him. And that, to me, says a lot in the long term, where players will want to come play here and play for Rich Hill, where he's very much about like, hey, these guys want to get to the next level. And we're not even at the point where it would be the All-Star break, so they can't be tired. If that's their goal,
I thought that was an awesome point by him, by the way.
If that's their goal is to play in the majors, then I'm preparing them to play in the majors. So Elijah Iquez, I mean, he is a freshman out of Kamehameha Schools, but this is, you can't get tired. You just got to keep playing. And Elijah did, you know, answer questions from the media as well. And he was very much like, oh, yep, nope, this is what I came here to do, is to play. Well, how crazy is that, is to play every game?
He did kind of joke almost that school was the harder thing than the actual workload of being a Division I athlete. He's just like,
pretty much.
He's like, the working out, he's like, the playing, you know, he's like, that's what I've done my whole life. I love doing that. He's like, cool. The school, it's like, whew. It's definitely been an adjustment, but it should be. It should be that way for everybody. Yeah. It was very fun catching up with both Elijah and Alex Giroux, who was the Big West Pitcher of the Week after his 5 perfect innings as well. It was a fun day out on the field.
But the Bows are in action again tonight, 6:35 p.m. first game against UC Riverside, and then tomorrow, same time, 6:35. No game on Saturday, so no Saturday baseball, but then they play the matinee on Sunday at 1:05. We talked a bit about it yesterday. Hawaii so far on this win streak, moving on up in the Big West Conference standings. UC Riverside sitting at the bottom, so got to take care of business. You've been taking care of business against the teams like a CSUN where it was evenly matched, but you took care of what you needed to take care of. UC Riverside, obviously anything can change with a swing, but this is a team that you need to beat.
Bows have been hot. I had a coach once say this, and it's stuck with me ever since. We didn't come this far just to come this far. And that's how I'd feel if I was the Bows right now. They have done an incredible job rattling off, I think it's 9 straight wins now, 8 straight wins. Either way, I rattle off a long season-long win streak. You need to keep that going if you want a chance at a potential sneak bid at the regular season title. I know it's a long shot, but hey crazier things have happened.
There's still a lot of games to go, so anything can happen. All right,
that means you got to keep winning.
Way up against the clock, so we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Why you come and shoot down on a good vibe ready to flow? You keep on coming and a coming, baby. Please stop rocking my boat. Cause I'm ready to rock. Honey, don't say it if you
welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Reminder that you guys can go ahead and text us whenever you want at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. And if you miss anything in the show, you can listen to it on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. We're in business right now, and by we, I mean the HPU Sharks have a 3-1 lead over Point Loma and at the bottom of the third. So we had a good top of the third inning for the Sharks. Just to go back again, you guys can follow Michael Escaro on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. It's up to you for the play-by-play breakdown. So going back to how we set that up, back-to-back one-out singles through the left side by Nicholas Gio, and Kota Suzuki has HPU on the verge at that time of getting its first run of the tournament as Dane Fujinaka calls an offensive timeout to get everyone on the same page with Skylar Agnew at the plate. And Skylar Agnew goes yard! I'm just trying to read it the way that Michael has it tweeted out. It's like all caps and 3 exclamation points. 3-run homer. Gave HPU the lead and its first run of the tournament to take that 3-1 lead over Point Loma. Still very much early in the game, however, again, only the third inning, and at the moment, Point Loma does have a runner on first with no outs. And yeah, we'll give you more updates, but for the most part, at least the Sharks can kind of shake that off, because I mean, having that shutout yesterday is just, it's never good when you can't get a runner across home. Even if you're in a loss, you just always want to at least score a few runs. So must feel good for the Sharks. Job's not done. Again, still got 6 more innings to go, 6.5 technically, but must feel good for the Sharks at least having this lead over the number one seed and PacWest regular season champs in Point Loma.
It just feels good to be on the board, you know, actually on the board finally after 12 innings of play. You work hard, and this is an HPU team that has pretty good offense in general, overall a productive team almost similar to the Rainbow Warriors in that they put the ball in play a lot. They're very good with bat to ball skill, and in general, it's just strange to see them not put up runs. So not necessarily a huge power team, but one that can give a charge out of the park, as you see Skylar Agnew do, and put them ahead. And all you need, like kind of like we were saying before, to win a tournament like this, you need to beat the best to be the best. And
the
2,
best is blessed.
Amen. And 2, you need any given day. And right now, it's that day for HPU up 3-1 in the bottom of the third.
Yeah, and as we kind of talked about earlier in the regular season, Hawaii Pacific played at Point Loma and dropped all of the games in the four-game series, but they were relatively close, so lost 4-3, 6-3, 7-3, and 4-2. So hopefully this three number that they currently have on the board it's going to go up, or at least the score is going to stay the same and we're going to win or go home, as we mentioned, because it's a double elimination tournament. Sharks lost to Concordia yesterday. Point Loma got upset by Azusa Pacific. Those two teams will play later on today in the winning bracket. And then currently with Point Loma and HPU, whoever wins moves on to the next round and will play the loser of the Azusa Pacific Concordia game later today. And whoever loses in the game right now goes home. So we got to take care of business. All pow. Season is over. And
I guess I don't necessarily know if that's true or not, because there's the whole selection and all of those things, right, for the big tournament.
Yeah, but they're...
That's no fun.
Yeah. For HPU.
For HPU, two losses in this tournament.
Because the announcer was talking about it in the broadcast yesterday, that because Point Loma had just... I mean, they ran away with that number one seed and...
Did he fix his overmodulated mic?
Yes, it sounded a little bit better yesterday. But Point Loma, though, he pretty much said that even if Point Loma does get knocked out, they're going to get an auto bid.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, because they won the regular season.
So it's pretty much a competition with the other teams to try to get the automatic bid into that. So Point Loma's going to get the at-large. And, well, not only because they won the PacWest regular season, but just because they're so good. And I think they're like fifth in the country or something.
I thought they were top 10 in the nation last I knew.
Yeah,
which, by the way, two losses in a row in their conference tournament. If you want to talk
crazy,
you want to talk about a crazy turn of events for a team who has been outstanding all year in Point Loma. It's funny how baseball can be. Is like we were saying earlier in the show, it's almost like soccer on any given day, or in this case, 2 days, might not have your best stuff. Still a long way to go, though, for the Sharks.
Oh, pitching change for the Sharks right
really?
Now. It appears like, again, Sharks up 3-1, bottom of the third. Oh. And they have two outs, so I guess they
going away from Jack O'Brien.
They weren't liking what they saw from Jack O'Brien, and I mean, this is the time. This is why it's so fascinating. So this is what makes baseball so interesting, is that just the management of games. Because yeah, the look on Paul's face too was when I said they're having a pitching change already. It's like, huh? With no run, only one run scored, no runners on base, and just wanting to be sure you close out this inning without allowing anything else to come across the plate for the Sea Lion. So yeah,
to be totally fair as well, it's something you've seen a shift in baseball later on in this 2000s. I guess now we're in the 2020s. Can't say 2000s anymore. It's something that you look at and it's like one time, two time, three time through the order type of deal, where coaches typically want to protect their pitchers. And if you have a guy who has been dealing, and for the most part, O'Brien has done that. I mean, given up just one run through one time through the order. If you can do that, you switch up the pitcher that they're bringing in the 6'5" hurler Scott Armstrong, which it gives you a different release point as a pitcher, and in general, just kind of keeps a lineup that you know in Point Loma can be pretty strong off balance a little bit longer.
Oh, Michael's making me crack up because, as Paul just said, 6'5" Scott Armstrong coming in for the Sharks now to close out this third inning. And it just reminds us of the viral tweet from head coach Dane Fujinaka with requesting or throwing out the bat signal for tall pitchers that want to come to HPU. And a lot of the shorter people had a lot to say about that. And I go back to it. I'm like, man, if clearly all the people getting angry have not watched a single take or looked at the roster for HPU, because they are very much undersized. And Dane admitted it himself. He's like, I'm undersized. Of course I'm going to root for the short guys. But You can't have your entire pitching staff
right.
be undersized. You got to bring in like a 6'5 guy like this too, so that the ball obviously looks different from the release, and then you change it up like from the plate. So it's just hilarious. But Michael also said the announcer called Scott Armstrong a tall drink of water.
I can tell you one thing right now. That announcer is white. As a white man.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There,
he did not know how to say Wailuku yesterday. I forgot how he pronounced it.
Oh,
he
that
said,
is a prime white man.
I think he said Wailuku or something weird. I was like, and then Michael texted when I was thinking it too. He's like, man, this announcer clearly did not have Wailuku in his vocabulary because it sounded so funny.
I'm gonna be real. If I don't know how to say something like that, I probably won't say
You're
it.
Like,
I'll probably just say he's from Oahu.
Anywho, Sharks
actually,
was...
Wailuku's not even on Oahu, right?
No,
that was the joke that we made yesterday.
Yeah.
See, that was what I was calling back to.
Anywho, so Scott Armstrong closed out the bottom of the third, and now the Sharks are up to bat. Top of the fourth, leading Point Loma 3-1 in a winner-go-home game in the PacWest Conference Tournament. We're going to take a break. Don't miss us too much. We'll be back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Wake Up in the Den, Kuule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. HPU still leading Point Loma at the top of the fourth, 3-1. If you guys want to go and check out the game, you can watch it. Go to the Azusa Pacific Athletics website, athletics.apu.edu/watch. It's free stream, so you guys can go ahead and watch it. PacWest Conference Tournament, win or go home between the top two seeds heading into the tournament. So hopefully HPU can sustain this and close out this game and come up with the biggest or second biggest, I guess, tournament upset, because Azusa has upset Point Loma yesterday. And HPU would move on to face the loser of the game later today between Azusa Pacific and Concordia. So it'd be interesting to see if they end up playing Concordia again. And then APU, if they move on to the championship game, my goodness, like they were the low seed, right, with the men's basketball tournament, ended up winning all of that. So that's what matters, though. You got to play your best when you're in tournament time. And shout out to the Cougars of APU, excuse me, if that ends up happening, but still got a lot more games to play.
I mean, cool. How many times on this show have I told people that the playoffs are a total crapshoot? Like, just a total crapshoot. Like, the last seed going and dancing their way to the tournament championship would be incredible. And yet, we're here in the second consecutive sport, and it feels like that's probably going to be the case. And it's after a year of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs, and I want to take this opportunity to remind people there are a lot of really good teams in college sports. And when you get into the playoffs, it almost is a coin flip at times. It takes one or two things to completely flip a game on its head, no matter the sport.
Kind of like a injury to one of your star players or what you thought was going to be an injury. And then he does like the whole, I'm going to come and play the second half and get a standing ovation. I'm talking about Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks, who the Knicks came up on top over the Pacers 130-121 yesterday. And I texted the guys, like, because it looked like it was some type of foot injury, and it was reported that it was a foot injury. And I said, you better hope it's not a sprained foot, because I had that injury. And guys, like, it's the worst injury. To me, one of the worst injuries ever. And it's just a sprain. Like, it's probably the worst type of sprain you can ever have. Obviously, if you break something, that's worse, or tear something. But sprained foot is no joke. It took me like months to recover in the middle of soccer season. And basically, I had my teammate stepped on my foot like during practice. And apparently that kind of made the whatever you call the ligaments or whatever in your foot, it makes it weaker. And so once I pushed off wrong, it just was a straight sprain, and you can't recover from it, because it's not like you can do. I mean, yeah, you can go on crutches. Essentially, I was out. Like,
it's hard
I couldn't
to be
play.
Off your feet.
I couldn't play for 2 weeks. And when you play a sport, so when the swelling goes down and everything goes down, the pain still shoots up, because it basically you feel the pain every time you push off on the ball of your feet, which that's sports, and that's especially soccer. So it was great. Like, I would not wish a sprained foot up for anybody, because it's just the worst thing as an athlete, because every single step you take and every push off to get your run going, like, it won't hurt when you walk. So that's where you think, oh, I'm recovered. But then once you push off and exert that extra pressure, it, like, you're done. Like, it took me forever to recover from that thing. And I sprained my ankles a bunch of times. Obviously, I landed funny on my wrist, sprained my fingers. Like, I had everything playing sports as a kid, and, you know, strain hamstring, kind of do all of this stuff. The foot thing, though, oh my goodness, it was the worst. I'm like, Jalen Brunson, as much, because he is like a phenomenal player and has been awesome in the playoffs, he's a guy, obviously, that bursts like every time. So
guards need that burst. Big part of Brunson's game is his footwork, the ability to be on balance, the ability to move in such precise manners. I know the beautiful people know me as Positive Paul. A little look into our group chat yesterday, Pessimistic Paul came out, guys. he just did, okay? And I told Michael to enjoy the Eastern Conference Finals as soon as Brunson went out.
He did. I can attest to that.
My reasoning for that was, if it was just the sore right foot, he would have been back after the first quarter. Clearly, I'm full of it because he was back in the second half. 54 years to the day, by the way, after Willis Reed emerged from the tunnel to help lead the Knicks to a Game 7 victory in the 1970 Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. It's one of the greatest moments in the history of the Knicks franchise. And we got our version of it. My generation got our version of it with that. And I wish I was there in person to hear the uproar from the crowd when he emerged to start warming up after halftime, because it was deafening, deafening. And that's the kind of thing with sports that are so, so cool, is you get moments like that and you remember moments like that. Yesterday's game was an incredible time to watch.
He was out for some of it, and he still led the Knicks in scoring with 29 points. Not too far behind, though, is my favorite guy, in Dante DiVincenzo. I think I said it yesterday. I think his name is just so cool, so I just like to say it every time he's like hitting threes. I'm like, DiVincenzo! It's like my favorite name in the playoffs so far.
I don't blame you.
But fear not for our Pacers fans like Michael Lascaro. Still, it's still a series until you drop a home game.
Games,
so this game has been in New York, and now they go over to Indiana. So we will see what happens in the remainder of this series. I feel like I get Game 7 vibes, because I feel like each team will win their home games, and we'll see what happens in Game 7. Coming up today, though, we got the, seems like a very lackluster, and I said this before, and their first game was kind of what we thought it was going to be, between the Celtics and Cavs. It's kind of like the most boring series so far. So Boston up 1-0. But hey, they're in Boston. Never know. Donovan Mitchell might just want to go ahead and score like 60 points in a game. We'll see.
I was
going to
say, sometimes Spida just goes nuclear. Yeah, so. And those games are fun to watch as well.
Yeah. But
when they're not Celtics, against your team.
Celtics are just overall, top to bottom, they're extremely talented. However, I do feel, just in terms of grit and physicality, I told Paul this before we jumped on, I'm like, Celtics are going to have their handful whichever team they play in New York or Indiana, just because of the pace with both teams play, the physicality. So that will be, I don't know how Boston will be able to handle either of those teams, or I'd be surprised. Maybe Cavs will win one game out of the series, but I can foresee Boston to having another easy like 4-1 win into the next round, into the Eastern Conference Finals. So,
and that's their right as the number one seed. It's you win in the regular season for that. No matter what, though, going to be an interesting rest of this round, next round. The NBA playoffs are always interesting, Co.
Yep, and second game of the day will be Mavs Thunder. Let's see if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like Shaq said, will be motivated even motivated to finish off this. Last but not least, Hawaii Pacific University currently leading Point Loma 4-1. So watch it. But we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kuule Ugbayani.